chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the martyr walk the Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? In the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, farming, and tonight, flowers, here on KRCB Radio 91. It's Michelle Anna Jordan live in the studio. A couple things to talk about before I introduce this evening's guest. First of all, for those of you who came to last night's Luana, an evening of aloha at the at Shone, SRJC's Shone Forum. Thanks so much. If you heard about it through the show, it was nearly sold out. It was a really lovely evening, and I served a salad, or I prepared a salad from Farmer George. Most of the greens were from Farmer George, and it was just so lovely. He does such a great job, and he was our guest, I think, just the week before Kumushana Alapa'i, who was on to talk about Luana. Farmer George had been on the week before, and you know, his salad mixes, he's just so good. It's so beautiful to the eye, and delicious, and also nutritious. So thanks to everyone. Couple of other things. Don't forget this. You've got about one more week for Arctic Gem white peaches from Dry Creek Peach and Produce. Sometimes they don't come in until the last couple of weeks of July. In a couple of years, it's been the last week in July. This year, they started picking on about the 5th. Thanks very much to Gail Okamura Sullivan, who came to my birthday celebration at Coppola Winery on Wednesday, poolside. That is what I do in my birthdays. And she brought a flat of Arctic Gem white peaches. They will be what I have for dinner tonight. And they are just, they're so delicious this year. They're big, they're plump, they're perfect. And they will be picking for just another week. You should be able, excuse me, to get them on next Saturday at both the Santa Rosa Original Farmers Market and the Hillsburg Farmers Market. That will probably be the last farmers market appearance this year. The farm stand is also open. I think it's Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but I'm not positive. You can either go to my website where I've posted that information. You can read my column in the Press Democrat on Wednesday, which is all about them. Or you can just go to drycreekpeach.com, get their address, give them a call, find out when they're open. They are truly, they've ruined me for all other peaches in the world. They're just perfect. perfect, perfect, perfect. One other thing, I finally got to have dinner at Hazel Restaurant, somewhere I've wanted to go. It is in downtown Occidental. You can walk there from the farmer's market, which is exactly what I did on Friday night. And it was just lovely, really lovely. Sat on the back patio and had a leisurely dinner with a bottle of County Line Rosé. Really perfect evening. And speaking of the Occidental Bohemian Farmers Market and of flowers, there's one farm there that attends only that market. It's the Star Mountain Farm. And she has some produce, I noticed, potatoes and a few other things. But she has really gorgeous, gorgeous flowers. And you can put together your own bouquets, which is what I did. So it's a great farmer's market. I love it. And on that note, we are going to welcome our guest, Hedda
Borstrom.
Borstrom. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. I will get very good at that. Thank you so much, and I'm glad you don't have a horrible heat-induced migraine tonight. I know what that's why you couldn't make it a few weeks ago, and I totally understand dry heat.
Yeah, it's been a hot season.
Yeah, it has. And dry heat is very bad for you if you get migraines.
Yeah.
So you have Full Bloom Flower Farm.
Full Bloom Flower Farm and Floral Design.
And it's South Sebastopol, right?
It's in Greaton.
Oh, it's in Greaton. Okay.
It's in Greaton, close to Sebastopol. And then I actually just moved to Camp Meeker. So I'm living there and do some wild foraging out near Occidental and also buy from Phyllis of Star Mountain Garden.
Oh, great. Her flowers are just gorgeous.
They are. I've been buying from Phyllis since I started 4 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
How did you get started?
With flowers?
Yes.
With flowers. I'm from Greaton, and I'm farming on my parents' land, and I grew up there, and the next-door neighbors had an organic Asian pear farm, and I just thought that was a normal thing to be part of ag, and went to UC Berkeley and realized that that wasn't a normal trajectory for a lot of people, and realized that it was really special, and missed it a lot, and got into studying agriculture at the university, mainly politics of agriculture.
Interesting.
But the school itself had an amazing student garden, and I found myself there feeling really comfortable and was able to teach a class through that garden and knew that that's what I wanted to do after college was become a garden teacher. So I had been gardening my whole life and then decided that that's what I was going to do. And so then I moved to San Francisco and that's what I did for a good amount of time.
Taught gardening
and was growing vegetables with kids, high school for one season and then an elementary school for a while. And then the very last week at UC Berkeley, they took us on a field trip to go see UC Santa Cruz. And I went to the farm and garden that they have at the university at Santa Cruz and realized that that was probably where I needed to go next because they have an amazing
farm. Yeah, I know a number of people who have gone through that program there.
So when I finally ended up going to that program a few years later, I had already really liked flowers. It was always my chore growing up to do the arranging in the house for my mom, and she always had flowers around. And I got put in charge of teaching everybody the stage of harvest in one of the gardens there at the 6 month apprenticeship program, and just totally knew that that's something that lit me up. And I just had all these grand visions of having flowers in different ways than you would normally think of too, other than vases. Like I was building things on the ground and making people lay in them and taking photographs of them from above and, you know, making little sculptures for people to find and just playing with plants in a different way that was really fun. In between doing regular farm work that's, you know, hard and physical and
it is hard work.
Yeah.
How do you deal with the heat since you're clearly sensitive?
Yeah, I farm in the morning, and I farm in the evening, and I harvest both those times. And mm-hmm. then I farmed during the middle of the day. So like today I worked planting, mm-hmm. Doing some perennial plant out during the middle of the day. But I try mm-hmm. and schedule things so that it's early and
early
cool.
Yeah,
or late and cool. Uh-huh. But it's been so hot this year. It's been mainly morning work.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
The world needs more flowers.
We do.
For so many reasons. And there's something so life-affirming. I remember when I was a struggling student, single mother and all that, when I got down to my last bit of money, whatever that last little bit of money was, I would spend it on flowers.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like it's the most, for me, it was the most optimistic thing I could do. And yeah. here I am, so it worked out.
Yeah, flowers are, when there's something you don't know how to say, they're the perfect gift.
Oh, that's a good point.
For anything. I was just sitting with a friend, and a good friend of ours, father has just passed away, and we were both wondering what we could do. And it's like, that's the beauty of flowers, is they can communicate so much.
Mm-hmm.
So happy things and sad things and sorries and just I love yous and pick me ups, and you don't have to clean your house if you have a bouquet. So
oh, now there's something I like.
Yeah.
I always thought, oh, I have to clean my house before I buy myself another bouquet because I don't deserve it if the house is messy. But I like the way you think better. But also there's the element of, they create life. They give life to bees and birds and so many other things. So they're life affirming just on so many different levels.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with agriculture, where so many of the crops we're harvesting before we're letting them get to the flower stage.
Mm-hmm, right.
So we're letting flowers take a bit longer. It's interesting. It's a pretty hard crop to grow if you're growing any sort of variety. A lot of farmers will grow one or two varieties. My farm has 200 varieties, so keeps me always learning. And mm-hmm. Also with a lot of them, trying to go all the way through the whole life cycle so that I can collect seed.
Collect seeds, excellent.
Yeah. Not true for all of the varieties, but for a fair amount of them, I've been collecting seed now and replanting. So like this millet here.
Mm-hmm.
Right here, this cool...
Oh, feathery thing.
Yeah, the same thing that you would, eat. Millet.
Oh, that's millet. I didn't know that. That's
yeah, with
wonderful.
The purple little hairs off of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at this beautiful bouquet. There's at least a dozen different varieties. I recognize zinnias, of course. I would not have recognized the millet. Is that hollyhock?
Which one?
No, it's not hollyhock.
We've got some...
This beautiful
larkspur.
Larkspur. Okay.
Larkspur.
Deep purple, almost midnight blue. Gorgeous. Some carnations.
They're making a comeback.
Good. They have the nicest aroma. And then is this queen?
It's related to Queen Anne's lace,
okay.
But it's a variety that holds longer.
Uh-huh.
It's a carrot member family.
Okay. Yes.
So it's an Ami. And that one is also called Dark Knight, which these scabioses are called Dark Knight as well.
I love this flower in this color. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, one I can save seed on, both of those mm-hmm. varieties, is the Ami and the scabioses. Mm-hmm. And this collection of flowers right here is just from my field's about an acre, mm-hmm. and this is representing two rows of 27. So I didn't really think about what I was putting in it. I just mm-hmm. decided to walk down the rows and pick what was in those particular rows.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to see the variety that you can get in a small amount of space with flowers.
And then what is this one right here?
That's Veronica.
Oh, okay.
She's a perennial, and she comes in white too, and she's been a real favorite with the florists this year. I sell to grocery stores and mainly do bridal work as the bulk of my business.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also sell to a lot of florists. And
mm-hmm.
what they want is very different than what I would sell to a grocery store.
Oh, sure.
And so she's got this nice light purple, and it's a spike flower and kind of satisfies a lot of the requirements that mm-hmm. the florists are after.
And do you sell to local florists or florists far and wide?
I try and keep all my sales as local as mm-hmm. possible. So I often am not driving more than 10 minutes from my house.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So the florists are, they'll either come to my farm and pick up or come to the new flower mart that just started this year.
The one that just started in the Barlow.
In the Barlow.
Nicole
Skolzlowski.
Nicole Skolzlowski. Right? Yes, she's going to be a guest on Mouthful sometime soon as well. She wasn't available for tonight. But that is a great little place.
Yeah.
Really beautiful.
Yeah. She's got the front of shop, which is her floral design, beautiful design work, California Sister. And then the back of the shop is called the Sonoma Flower Mart. So every Friday, farmers, we come up with our crop list and send out our availability. And then that's sent to the florists. And the florists then choose what they need for their weddings. And it's really nice for me as a farmer because I can cut to order. So I'm not cutting things that...
on speculation.
Yeah. And then I get my crop list on Monday, and I start harvest for them and then bring in. And on Wednesday, the florists come and pick it up. And then I get to see all the magic that they're making with it.
That's so great. We're going to take a little musical break, and we'll be right back. I want to talk about the challenges of farming flowers.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, we're the Blasters. Or some incarnation thereof. Like your father stepped with the knife for a drink. Your mother washed the dishes in the sink. And you stood on the step. To the power and I reached about a thousand times. You were like a red, one red rose on a new black dress. One red rose on a new black dress. Rushing in between our jets. Tonight I wonder where. Put me to the dead. One red rose on a new black dress. One red rose on a new black dress. Crushing it between our chest. Never go back. You walked away to the house of trash, leaving me with what's left. One red rose on a new black dress. And it's a one red rose on a new black dress. Cause she hit for the sweetheart's dress.
The Blasters, Red Rose, One Red Rose. You know, Sonoma County used to have lots of flower farms, and I think we're starting to see at least a small comeback. But Roanoke Park was a seed farm. And many years ago, gosh, going back probably to the 70s, out Grayton Road, not real close to town though, but out, I'm pretty sure it was Grayton Road and down a long driveway, was a former seed farm where a friend's mother lived. And at certain times of year, there were just you would just look and there'd be like hundreds of daffodils and then something else and something else. And her mother wasn't farming it at all, but they just kept reseeding or rebulbing or whatever you call them. And you're out in that area and close enough to town, you say that you don't have a problem with a deer?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think we had one big buck kind of go through in spring, but not too often will I have deer on the property.
That's great.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges that you face?
Depends what you're talking about. I farm a lot of varieties, so keeping on track with all of the things and planting the right amounts has been a process of learning. My first season, I specialized in dried flowers and would overplant, you know, certain species you just can't keep up with if you plant too much of them. So over the years, I've gotten better at knowing how many bed feet of each variety to grow. And another big thing with flowers is that they're extremely hard to start from seed. So a lot of farmers shy away from them. My friend Katie from Red H, she always is like, I don't know how you get that to grow. You can barely see half the spring seeds. So they're very small seeds, much smaller than the brassica seeds.
And is it that they're hard? It's a challenge to get them to germinate?
Yeah, it's harder germination. The smaller they are, the more you have to keep them moist and pay attention. And there's a lot of different things you have to do to some of the seeds with growing a large diversity. But probably the most challenging thing with flower farming is that, like you said, there was a lot of flower farmers. And then in the 90s, there was a free trade agreement, the Andean trade agreement, and flowers were suddenly flooded from Colombia and from Ecuador. So currently 78% of all of California, 78% of all of the flowers sold in the United States come from abroad. So around 80% of flowers are coming from a system where the wages are really low and it's hard to financially compete with really cheap flowers that are coming in on planes.
Yeah. Is there a lot of that in Sonoma, including in Sonoma County?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely been, it's funny to say that there's some established farms that have been doing it here for a while, but there has been, I've had over 15 people visit this spring that all want to start flower farms or operations similar to flower farms. So that's been really exciting to see the enthusiasm. But in general, we're still, our story has still not been told that it's important that what's on our tables is grown without chemicals as well. And so a lot of my accounts have my local flowers, and then they'll also have flowers from larger distributors that are from South America.
I never buy flowers anywhere other than a local farm or a farmer's market.
Yeah.
And or the ones that I can grow. And certain things grow at my house pretty well.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want everything to be as good as the food that you eat? You want your flowers. And plus, the more flowers, the happier the bees.
Definitely.
I assume you have a lot of happy bees visiting you.
Lots of species out there. It's a lot of native bees, a lot of different butterfly species.
Oh.
And just even pulling up crops, because the flowers stay longer than a lot of veg crops. So things that will have been in the ground for maybe 6 months versus, 5 to 7 weeks. So a lot of the invertebrates underground have a longer chance to play in the soil as well.
Oh, that's I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of a lot of critters in the air, bees right now, definitely. And then when the flowers start going to seed, then the birds come in like crazy. And there's just tons of birds eating seeds because there's so many seeds in my field. So it's pretty incredible, the wildlife out there.
Yeah, that's great. And do the birds bother? The birds are probably not bothering the flowers.
In the spring, they eat
lot. The sprouts?
They eat the transplants, so I cover a lot of stuff.
They've eaten all of my cilantro.
They're notorious in the spring, but right now they're not a problem. The fun thing that I did this year was covered some of my rows with tulle from that you would wear, you know, under a skirt
tulle.
Or something.
Oh,
so
yeah,
instead
that's
of
a good idea.
Yeah, I heard that trick from Singing Frog Farms that they had recommended that instead of the regular row cover. Mm-hmm. So I tried that and it felt very appropriate for a flower farmer doing
for a
weddings.
Flower farm. Yeah. Yes, that's great. I love that.
Then you can see through it too to actually what's going on
to
underneath.
See,
yeah.
Yeah. And then what about gophers? Any problem?
Yep. Big problems with gophers. I trap regularly.
Uh-huh.
And then my dahlias are just too precious. So I actually.
Oh, dahlias. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a crazy person. So I dug a trench for my birthday. I had all my friends come out. And we dug an 80-foot trench. And then the next year did it again. So I have two 80-foot gopher wired trenches in my field. Mm. And then this year. Got a bunch of bulb crates from the pickle people in Healdsburg, and I'm growing as an experiment first time, and it looks so far so good. Dahlias in crates.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got three rows, but all of those are protected.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And we've got a couple of dahlia farms. We've got Aztec Dahlias on Adobe Road, and then Chris Baker, who has all of the beautiful tropical plants that amazing orchids and those pitcher plants.
Oh, yeah.
Love pitcher plants. He sells at farmers markets, but then he also has big field of dahlias.
Yeah, they're the best. I mean, it's a lot of working with brides is kind of re-educating people as to what varieties are in season, and roses aren't always in season. So dahlias are a huge substitute for a lot of the wedding season is the focal flower.
So other than dahlias, do you find that there are flowers coming in and out of fashion? What are some of the things that you're seeing other than dahlias?
Well, colors come in and out of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of being a flower farmer that caters to weddings is always growing enough white, which is a challenge because that's what the cucumber beetle likes the most. So growing enough white flowers, and then blush is always going to be popular. Maybe not always, but it has been and probably will continue to be, finding these light colored pinks. And then oddly enough, you can't predict it sometimes. I had one year where all my weddings were purple, and so then I planted a lot of purple the next season, and now this year they're all orange. I had no idea that was going to happen. So sometimes you can't predict, but there's always predictions put out at the beginning of the season. So this year it's Pantone. It's light blue and a light pink together as the color of the year.
Who knew? I've always wondered, what about calla lilies in both white and color?
Yeah, they're making a comeback too. I've always really loved them. Any flower that's early season is just extra special because during the summer there's so many varieties, but you really love the fall and spring, spring
and
babes.
I love and have always loved calla lilies.
Yeah, I grew the black one this year.
Oh, you did?
So pretty. Yeah.
If you have a photo, you have to send me a photo. I have tried so hard to grow that one. I need to find some more bulbs.
Yeah.
Because, no, is it the one with the long?
Not super long.
Okay.
We have the other one that I love is the green. Green calla, and then I had like kind of a bright pink that nobody liked, but I liked it.
I have bright pink. I have deep red with sort of orange swirls, and then I bought a black one. It was a true black one at Trader Joe's.
Yeah,
and it just doesn't bloom. I bought it years ago, and I keep watering. You know, it just never comes back. And it's like, well, that's what I get for buying something that commercial.
Yeah, they like a lot of water. Put it in the wet spot if you can.
Okay, I can do that.
Above our septic is where we have all of our calla lilies.
Perfect. Okay, we got lots of flower songs, so let's hear some more music, Mike.
Well, when you're sitting there in your silk upholstered chair, talking to some rich folk that you know, well, I hope you won't see me. Company, where you know I could never be alone.
Full Bloom Flower Farm and Floral Design.
Yep.
I did it right. That is our topic, and it is Hedda...
Brorstrom.
Brorstrom. So that those two R's together. It takes a while to get your mouth used to that. And I want to say thank you for coming. I really appreciate it. And thank you for bringing these beautiful flowers. Do you have any full-time help? Or is it you out there?
It's me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's me out there. And it is pretty full on. It's 7 days a week.
Sure.
Yeah. 7 days a week and... sometimes in the sleep too, I'm arranging.
Sure. Like, do you have a down season? I mean, do you get to like rest or go somewhere in December, January?
I should have done that this last season, but I was invited to speak at Eco Farms. So that was really exciting.
Uh-huh.
And I spent a bit of time preparing for that. Mm-hmm. And the off season for me is typically December. Mm-hmm. So I'll go all the way to Christmas. I have an herbal business as well, so I make herbal products. And
we'll have to talk about
that. So I sell wreaths and teach wreath workshops and sell herbal products up until the 25th. And then from there I normally would take a break, but this year I didn't, and was doing some seed planting and crop planting for other farms as well. So I'm ready for a vacation this year. I started early.
Should be sure to take one.
I started early this season, and my field, it's July. It looks like it's August out there. So it'll probably end early. Just because of the heat.
It's been such an early season all year.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that I still have lots of flowers for all my fall brides. And if not, I buy from other farms, all my friends' farms. And then I will hopefully take at least 10 days this year.
Good.
I have to.
Tell us about, where do you teach your classes, first of all?
I teach, I teach other places sometimes, but often just on
the farm. Oh, nice.
Because it's really nice to have people out there.
Sure.
And, you know, people expect a certain image of a farm, so it's fun to teach it in the off season when they come and see that there's maybe not much going on. And then they come again peak season, and the whole thing is just, I mean, I do French intensive, so it's almost everything's at 8 inches, and the whole field is full of plants, and you can barely walk through it. So it's really nice to have people out there a couple of different times, because a lot of people are repeat workshop people. And then also teaching for other design companies. So I'm supposed to teach in Pescadero soon, and I'll be teaching a wreath workshop this year at the herbal school. So getting out there at other farms too, just to get away from mine sometimes.
Cool. And then tell us about your herbal business.
It's pretty on the side. I went back to school my second year of farming and went through the 9-month apprenticeship program at the California School of Herbal Studies. And it's a great program.
Where is it located now?
Forestville.
Oh, it is still in Forestville.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Same property that it's been for a while. And it's just a great program. I wasn't really planning on doing anything with it for a business, but I also had the opportunity to do a lot because I have a farm. So next thing I know, I was, you know, kind of cranking out what I loved in particular. So I'm known for my lotion. So mainly making calendula products. So.
Oh, calendula lotion.
Calendula
and
lotion.
Cream.
And
they're both great.
And then a few tinctures here and there, but mainly the lotions, and that's what I'll typically do workshops on. But yeah, that's a passion side project of mine. And
then where do you sell the products?
So far it's been whenever I have something, I'll post it on Facebook. My website's not up to date whatsoever. That's just the nature of being a farmer.
Sure.
Or a busy person. And Instagram too. I'll just post when I have stuff. So I'll post it up and then sell out. And then during the Christmas season, holiday season, I'll do different craft fairs.
Oh, great.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
And I think I know the answer to this, but the calendula, you grow them yourself?
I grow them myself.
Great.
And harvest them and grow them in a way that's without any water, so that they're really resinous. And they are just scattered throughout the field, because it's a plant. If anyone knows that plant, once you have it, you always have it. It's reseeds. And so I don't try and plant it anymore. It's just out there in the pathways, and it's much different than growing plants for bouquets, where you want the just most succulent, fresh flowers. And then with the calendula, it's a off picking time too. So I'll pick it in the heat of the day, and then I'll dry it in a dry space that I have, a big shed where I do all my dried flowers as well, and then make products. Yeah, it's really fun for me.
What is the what are the elements in calendula that makes it so healing?
Well, it's a really resinous plant, and it's healing for the skin, but it's also really good internally. So you can, if you are having stomach issues, it's really good to take internally as well as a tea, or even making a bath of it, steeping it in a bath water, and getting it into your system that way. But it's a great plant. It's safe for kids too. So it's, you know, when you see diaper cream that's organic, it's calendula-based normally.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And do you grow any other, what I guess we'd call medicinal, healthful, what shall we call it?
Echinacea.
I was going to ask about echinacea.
Big favorite of mine. So I'm sure.
The flowers are so gorgeous.
They're spectacularly beautiful. They're mesmerizing when you're up close.
Oh, I know Gail Sullivan from Dry Creek Peach and Produce brought me a bouquet and had two or three just beautiful, beautiful echinacea. What is the part of the plant that has the medicinal properties?
So with echinacea, it's often the flowers are used, and then at year three, you harvest the roots. And so a full and complete medicine will have both the flowers from one part of the year and then a fall harvest of the roots. And to get the roots in year three, you have to have a bit of luck in my area because gophers do like them. So I finally got some roots harvested last season.
I may have some.
Nice.
Because I have them in my, I hope it's not more than 3 years. I have them in a raised bed.
That would work too, even if they're older. And yeah, they're just, it's a great medicine. And I do spilanthes, which is a fun plant. It's called the toothache plant.
Oh, well, tell us about
it.
I don't know that.
It is got a big mouthfeel. You start salivating like crazy when you take it. So it's really good as a mouth rinse. If you swallow it, you're not supposed to swallow it regularly because it will kill your flora in your gut. But if you have a big infection going on, then you can take it internally. So it's somewhat similar to echinacea in that kind of tingly feeling that you get when you take it as a tincture. But I often just use it as a mouth rinse.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a good, fun garden plant to have. Easy to grow.
God, you're making me want to get out and garden more than I do. I'm a morning rider. And I don't like the heat. I've made that trade-off. Let's talk about the floral design part of things now. So you've talked a lot about selling flowers for brides, but what about your design? You actually do some of the designs for weddings as well.
I do. Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts. And it's extra special to meet people, have them out to the farm, or you're communicating with them for a long time, planning. And then eventually their big day comes and you know, spent so much time trying to get all the colors right and the style right. And then at one of the most important moments of their life, you get to hand over a little piece of nature to them that they can, I always tell the brides, like, this will help you. This will ground you. If you feel like you're floating away during the ceremony, here's some plants. So, the design part is challenging sometimes because you're trying to nail the perfect thing for someone. And I'm not sure how people did it before this era of images that we live in. But it's a lot of Pinterest and, you know, Instagram and images that people can share with me. And then I'll say, actually, none of that's all in bloom at the same time. Here's some substitutes. That's been one of the most rewarding parts is I love art and I love being creative, and every day I make a bouquet, at least one.
That's
not
so great.
50.
What a great way to live. Everybody should do that.
Yeah.
Just think, if everybody in the entire world made a bouquet every single day, I think we might have a peaceful world.
We would. We're sore hands, at least.
Sore hands. And at least more peaceful
houses
than it is right now. You're talking about the designs and what's in season, when, and all that. Reminds me of this story I read It's been several years now, but it was a lawsuit. A bride sued a florist for destroying her wedding.
Oh, yes.
For $40,000 because the hydrangeas were the wrong shade.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like...
This is part
seriously?
Of the
business. Wow.
Yeah. It's funny. People, you say that you do weddings and everyone, you know, says Bridezilla right away. But I've had, most everyone's been really great to work mm-hmm. with. But sometimes it is difficult and people are just like high anxiety. And that's when I want to pull out the lavender hydrosol
there you
offer
go.
Herbs. But it's more challenging with the mothers, actually.
You know,
than
I was
the brides themselves because the moms have these expectations and they're different than what the brides want. And I sometimes have to pull people aside and say, you know, this is, they're often paying for it too.
Sure.
You know, this is what your daughter said that she wanted versus what you want and just have a moment. So there's a lot of being diplomatic.
Yeah. I had a catering business for more than a decade.
Yeah.
And I always found it was, sometimes it was the bride's mother. More often, it was the bride's aunt.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to throw the aunt or the aunts out of the kitchen. And you know, this is all taken care of.
Yeah.
You go enjoy yourself. You're not helping cook.
Yeah, that's another big part of my business is I do offer design work. And then a lot of people who can't afford flowers for their wedding, design flowers,
mm-hmm.
They can pick up buckets from me and design it themselves.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh.
So that's been really fun to see. But then often... I want to say I hope you know how much work it really is, because design is beautiful and it's really fun, but it's hours of work.
It's hours and hours and hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially if you have somebody that's really particular, then it can be, you know, days. So
mm-hmm.
typically a wedding takes me, I'll start harvest on Tuesday. And if the wedding's on Saturday, I'm working pretty much nonstop until Saturday.
Yeah. Speaking of picking up buckets, can people contact you just to get flowers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be for a big event.
Yeah. People contact me pretty regularly. I do one-off bouquets for birthdays or anniversaries.
Uh-huh.
So people will call up and place orders. It's always better to try and do it a little further in advance
like,
than that
not
day.
The morning that you need
yeah.
it.
So private orders straight to the farm. I also have a CSA, so people get weekly flowers that
you
are
designed.
You have
a flower CSA?
Yeah.
Okay, we need lots of details on that.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
That's a really fun one. So I design for individuals, and then I also do Peter Lowell's and Circle of Hands and the Nectary and a new yoga studio just is a new client of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then in general, my flowers are at Andy's Produce.
Oh, they're at Andy's as well? Okay, great.
Yeah.
So how does the CSA work?
The CSA is a just like a farm CSA, mm-hmm. pre-season you purchase. And then once a week you get flowers. If you're out of town for that week, you know, people let me know when they're going to be out of
mm-hmm.
town and then they would. I won't make a bouquet that week.
And do they come pick it up? Do you deliver?
They come pick it up
mm-hmm.
unless they're super close to me. But my mm-hmm. first season, I delivered, and I'm not going to do that
anymore. Yeah,
yeah. So people pick up, and there are arrangements that are I have customers from last year that were so sweet. They have two girls, and they would get their arrangement and then go home, and then the mom said they would go out in the yard and pick flowers and try and replicate the different designs.
How sweet.
So that was really sweet.
What's it cost?
It's $25 a week, so 8 weeks is $200.
$200 for 8 weeks. Cool. And how many subscribers can you accommodate?
You know, it's kind of a passion thing, so I don't take too many people.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I still have space for the season,
mm-hmm.
and the season goes all the way until frost. So as long as there's 8 weeks before November mm-hmm. Frost date, then.
Yeah. You know, it seems like this would be a really great thing for bed and breakfast.
Yeah. Actually, you know what I was thinking, too, is... I want to reach out to some auto body places.
That's a great idea.
I'm like, those people need flowers more
than
anyone. The people that are in the office and it's so loud and stinky. And
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I was thinking of approaching some of those places.
Oh, you should. You definitely should. Start with Pauline's.
Okay.
You know, just Pauline's, because, you know, there's There's the feminine side.
Yeah.
But start with Pauline's and then go to Pete's.
Okay.
And talk to Joni at Pete's.
All right.
And tell Joni Michelle sent you.
Nice.
But, you know, that's just a great idea.
Yeah.
That'll make you famous. That'll get you on CNN or something. Okay, we've got time for one more song here. We'll be right back with our final segment with Hedda. Okay, I have to think really quickly. Oh, I know one thing I wanted to talk about. What about bulbs? Are bulbs pretty much exclusively a spring crop?
Yeah, there's some different crops that it's important to invest in, I think, if you're a beginning farmer, and mm-hmm. bulbs is one of them, because you plant them and often then they just give and give, and then you can share them with friends over years. So I have a patch of irises that I love, and again, it's the spring stuff that's mm-hmm. great, and often they are spring mm-hmm. spring babes.
Because you think tulips, daffodils,
yeah,
narcissus.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of...
Hyacinth yeah. is a bulb, right?
Yeah. And for cut flowers, you have to really make sure that you're getting the right stem length.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And often some of those early season ones, like the daffodils, as much as I love them, they can muddy the water for other flowers, so it's harder to make arrangements with them.
Mm. You mean muddy the waters in...
They have a sap that comes out of...
Oh, so literally muddy the water.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so they'll sap out into the water, so you have to keep them separate for a little while. Mm-hmm. And there's tricks to everything mm-hmm. with the flowers. But yeah, bulbs are a great thing. Early season crops too, like ranunculus and anemones.
Two of my favorites.
Yeah. So there's a lot of us that are somewhat new flower farmers and experimenting with those crops and mm-hmm. seeing what we can do without having a lot of resources. Like I don't have a big, everything's field grown for me, so I don't have mm-hmm. big hoop houses.
Right.
So I trialed both of those plants this year with okay success. I had some flooding in one part of my field because it was such a wet year. Mm-hmm. So I lost some of those anemones. That was a bit sad. But
yes.
Overall, good enough to do it again next year.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. That's great news. Yeah. What about, poppies don't hold up in bouquets, do they?
I still grow them.
I love poppies.
They're so beautiful.
Especially the big red ones.
Yes.
Just love it. Yeah. I brought seeds back from Italy years ago, and they grew out for a while. But
yeah. The pods are so cute, too. The
yes.
big pods and then the small pods are great for boutonnieres. And mm-hmm. If you sear the ends, they'll last a bit. So there's different varieties.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, that if you have a torch or even just go cut them and immediately bring them to your stove and...
Oh, just sear.
Yeah, sear the bottoms and they'll last a little longer that way.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's counterintuitive because you think... Oh, they're going to wilt because they won't be able to draw up water.
Yeah, each plant is so specific in how to harvest.
So when are you going to write a book about flower farming?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, so far it's a lot of Instagramming. That's uh-huh. a huge part of my business.
Like there's just such an amazing wealth of diverse
yeah.
knowledge.
Yeah, there is. And there's some great books that are out there. Oh, I should have brought my books with me. But perennial, it's got like a not the best title in the world. It's like Perennial Shrubs and Cut Flowers or something like mm-hmm. that.
I know that Nicole has a couple at her shop, two or
yes.
three books
yeah.
at her shop.
Yeah,
that
she's got a great book selection mm-hmm. at the Barlow there. And then also some just more about the politics of flowers. The Flower Confidential is a great book.
Tell us.
It's just the story of how flowers are coming from South America and often,
okay.
you know, get the big old chemical doses and mm-hmm. the worker conditions. Uh-huh. And that's an Amy Stewart book.
So oh, okay. We know Amy
yeah,
Stewart. She's been on Mouthful.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been on Mouthful yeah. before. That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. I would like to read that.
Yeah, I always had that one on. I used to do farmers markets. That was always on my table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how do people get a hold of you?
My email is fullbloomflowerfarm@gmail.com.
That's fullbloomflowerfarm@gmail.com.
Yep. And then Instagram is fullbloomflowerfarm and Facebook, fullbloomflowerfarm. And floral design for the Facebook one. But yeah, if you put my name in there and look, there's a lot of things that pop
there's
up now because it's the fourth mm-hmm. season. So that's nice.
Uh-huh. And then if somebody just wants to be old fashioned and give you a phone call, do you have a number that you're comfortable
yeah.
letting people have?
Yes, it's 707-591-6968.
So that's 707-591-6968. 591-6968. Heather, thank you so much.
Yes,
this has
my
been
pleasure.
Fascinating.
Thank you.
And I wish, I'm going to try to take, I'm going to, we got to get a picture of these so I can post this on Mouthful's Facebook page. We'll do that, and then you can take a look at Mouthful's Facebook and see just this gorgeous random walking down two aisles and gathering what was there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see your farm.
Yes.
I have to see it at some point.
Yes,
and best of luck to you for the rest of this season.
Thank you.
And, you know, I think a flower CSA for the person who has everything, what a great gift that would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just, or somebody who's convalescing. Seems like on Facebook lately, there have been a lot of people who are in lounge chairs for 6 or 8 weeks because, you know, they have foot surgery or something. What a nice thing to give somebody.
Yeah, bring the outdoors indoors.
Exactly. So on that note, we are once again, we're ready to go, Mike? Okay, so meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, farming, and flowers here on KRCB Radio 91. Have a great week.
Grapes are covering the grassland. They're buying up for family farms. Selling out. Who can blame them? Wine's a cash crop growing strong.